Let's talk about those holiday letters. You know what I'm talking about? Those mass-produced letters from friends and family that are filling us in on the various benchmarks of the past year, sent out to everybody along with the usual holiday cards, maybe with a photo. Usually they focus on activities, not feelings, and function like a highlight reel of the year.
Well, our next guest has a message for you. Stop sending them. She says they make people feel bad, and what's more, they're redundant in the age of social media. Alyssa Strauss joins us now. She writes about gender and culture, and she wrote a piece on this topic for theweek.com. Alyssa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, you know, we're spread out around the country from friends and family. We want to catch up. What's wrong with the way we send out these classic, here's what happened to us this year, holiday letters?
Well, I think for starters, like, yes, we may be geographically spread out, but the fact is we're all on Facebook, or many of us are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. So we actually kind of see like a day-by-day, you know, play out of each other's lives on these social media sharing platforms. And, you know, come the holidays end, we know where John got into college. We know about your trip to India. We know that Dad got a promotion. You know, we've heard it. We know, you know, Lily made varsity tennis. So for one, it's, you know, it's not really telling us stuff we don't know.
So are you basically saying we now live in a world where it's just like an endless holiday letter every day?
One giant holiday letter. Kind of. We kind of do. Yeah.
Is that good? I'd rather have one a year.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's funny. Okay, so on one hand, we have our kind of like highly curated social media accounts. I mean, some of us, you know, try to only show the nicest, prettiest moments of our lives. And the other of us, some of us actually use social media as a way to confess. So even though it kind of contradicts my first point, the other reason not to do them is that we actually, like, we know it's not true anymore. We're, you know, a decade out from a whole revolution of, you know, what people call mommy blogs on the internet. We've seen every parenting failure documented, you know, through pictures, through blog posts, through videos. Like, the gig is up. We know Leave It to Beaver, like, the fantasy's gone. And so there's really no point in sending this highlights reel come the end of the year when we know that that's just not what life is like.
Well, and as the recipient of that good news thing, yeah, we achieved enlightenment on the top of Mount Everest while playing in the International Rugby League or whatever. What does that do to us? What does that create due to our expectations of life and our view of our own lives?
Right. I mean, with, you know, all this information we're swimming in from, you know, about each other's lives and about the world in general, it's like, you know, people feel bad. I mean, that's, you know, I think there are a number of studies that document how social media, if you're, you know, scrolling on your Facebook feed, actually makes you feel worse after instead of better. And, you know, we're humans. We can't help but compare ourselves. So when we're all, you know, bragging or humble bragging, you know, whichever, we can't help but look at what we see on that page and think like, hey, this actually might be their life and my life looks nothing like this. And, you know, what can I do about it?
Isn't there something nice about it? I mean, it's kind of nice to get a little card from somebody. You can keep it. You can look at it over the years, see how people have aged and stuff like that. I mean, what's the harm? What's the harm in sending them out, really?
It's funny. My father-in-law, who's older and an attorney, and he sent me, you know, like a point-by-point reason, you know, a breakdown of why my 5 points, like, he's exempt from them. And, I said, you know what? You're right. You are exempt. Like, they make perfect sense in your life. Go, please, you know, write your holiday letter and make sure to brag a lot about me in it. But, no, I think, you know, the point is that we're already putting so much time into staying in touch because of social media that maybe there's a better way, you know, like the time you would use to put together that one-size-fits-all holiday letter, maybe instead use it to write 5 personal letters to, you know, maybe older relatives who aren't on Facebook or someone you've lost touch with and, you know, but always think about, you know, use it to, like, make a real personalized, individualized connection. And for the friends that you are always in touch with via social media, maybe go grab a drink, you know, like try to, you know, that's the stuff that we're missing. We're not in short of information about each other, but we are often missing that kind of an emotional connection. So it's the holidays, you know, go grab some eggnog or a couple glasses, you know, spiced wine and have a nice talk.
Well, the objections people might raise to that, and it may be something they'd talk about in their annual holiday letter, is we're too busy. Our lives are whirlwinds, vortexes of our time. We don't have time to go out and do that stuff. We just have time to talk about how busy we are in our annual holiday letter.
Right. Well, you know, interestingly enough, there's a communications professor in the Midwest, a woman named Ann Burnett, actually has studied holiday letters over the decades, and she found a rise in words like whirlwinds, crazy, hard to keep up with it all, you know, these phrases that denote like, oh, we're just so busy. And, you know, what she's taken away from that is that busyness has really become this status symbol. So, you know, it's like on one hand we are so busy, but on the other hand we're living in this culture that really thinks being busy is great and it's a sign of having made it. So, right, on one hand you may not be able to get the time to away from your family to have a drink with a friend, but when we write these holiday letters, we're often contributing to this culture that makes, you know, busy the most important thing a person can be. And busy, you know, it's a lot about perception. Like, we feel like we're busy because we feel like we're supposed to be busy.
So when you wrote this article, did you feel a little guilty? Did you have this feeling that, like, somebody who sent you a note like this in the past, other than your father, is thinking, oh, man, I'm never talking to her again.
Mother-in-law, even worse, yeah.
You're off the mailing list.
I mean, did you feel remotely guilty?
I didn't want to come. Sorry, yeah.
Did you feel remotely guilty about it?
Yeah, I didn't want to come off as, you know, some Scrooge, and it's someone's like beautiful tradition, and that I'm just showing them why it's terrible and they should stop doing it. But you know, on the other hand, I feel like we are living in this culture where people feel they're doing a lot out of guilt, particularly mothers, which I write a lot about, and not because it's necessarily something that someone wants to do. You know, this feeling that you have to do something because everyone else is doing it, I believe because of social media, it's stronger than ever. And, you know, this, you know, with helicopter parenting, intensive parenting, this kind of, you know, we can't do enough for our kids these days. So, you know, it's, to me, looking at it with fresh eyes this year, it seemed like one more thing that we, you know, maybe it's time has come. Maybe we don't need any more. Maybe we shouldn't feel guilty if we're not going to do it. And here's five reasons why you shouldn't feel guilty for not doing it.
You mentioned earlier maybe replacing this tradition, the, you know, the mass mailing to everybody, with the personal letters, especially to maybe older relatives who don't keep up on social media. You also have suggestions in your piece for, you know, the style, not just a checklist of what happened. What would you look for in a good connecting kind of letter?
Hey, you know, maybe you have a relative that loves playing tennis, and, you know, you have a daughter or son that just got really into tennis. Maybe they're terrible at it. Maybe they didn't even make the team. But, you know, but you and your daughter go play tennis every Sunday morning, and it's the best part of your week. You know, that's a nice moment to share that doesn't always kind of fit into the holiday letter format, but may mean the world to, you know, your relative that you grew up playing tennis with, or so something along those lines.
You know, say things like, you know, junior is learning to curse or something like that.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Be more honest, that's what you're saying.
Right. Well, things also, that matter on a human level.
Special experiences, not resume items.
Exactly. You know, when you're writing the one-size-fits-all one, you're choosing the things that have the most value in our culture at large, because that's just what makes sense if you're writing to everyone at once. You know, and if you can write a more personal letter, you're choosing the things that the recipient actually cares about. And maybe no one else in the whole world does. Maybe everyone thinks this one television show is the worst, but you know that this relative loves it, and you want to share with them how you love it now, too.
Do you feel like you're fighting a losing battle, though? Because, I mean, it seems like, you know, it's getting more this way, and I mean, not just because of social media. It seems like, you know, there are a lot of people who probably feel the, you know, when you have a world where you have, if you're on Twitter, you have followers, and if you're on Facebook, you have fans who like things that you do. It seems like there'd be more motivation than ever for people to write these kind of letters and send them out.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I suspect that, you know, we will reach a point of fatigue before too long. There's been some, you know, good books, one particular book named Overwhelmed by a Washington Post writer named Bridget Schultz that I highly recommend. And, you know, it's all about this feeling, this the overwhelm. And there was a book, you know, maybe 5 or 10 years ago by Judith Warner called Perfect Madness, and she called it the mess. And this is, you know, these phrases, the overwhelm, the mess, were used to describe what it feels like to be a parent, particularly a mother today. So there's definitely something out there. I think people are realizing that they're exhausted. This isn't sustainable. Something needs to change. And, you know, maybe our kids will be okay without doing it all.
Alyssa, as a hard-boiled media interviewer, I got to ask, did you take your own advice? Did you send out some of those personal letters to a select few relatives and friends this year?
I have to admit, I did neither.
Is it because you're too busy?
Yes, it is. It is. I have a toddler and a husband that's been has a full-time job and finishing a book all at once. So I feel
it's
like
a whirlwind.
This year,
does he have a publisher? No. Oh,
yes, he does. Yeah, he's.
See, you got material right there for a letter, actually.
I feel like everyone can forgive me from this year. I was not my best holiday self this year on many levels.
Well,
but
Alyssa,
next year I plan on it.
All right. Well, next year, of course. Well, Alyssa, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Alyssa Strauss writes about gender and culture for theweek.com.
You know, I'm just lazy. I always think, I'm going to do that mass holiday letter that she said not to do. And I never get around to it. Not because I'm too busy.
Now you have an excuse not to do it, I guess.
Now. Okay, laziness is a virtue in this case.